So, having heard Tessa's wonderful presentation, I'm going to get you to do something completely different. And the inspiration for this came partly because of something's going on in my life, but it allowed me to read a book. And this is a book I read, which I'm sure David Banks, after his presentation yesterday and unhappiness with statistics, would hate. But David Spiegelhalter's The Art of Uncertainty was my bedtime reading for about a month. And as I was reading it, one of the things that I kept thinking was, this is very interesting for wargaming. Assessing probabilities, expressing what degree you think about things. So I'm going to get you to do a quiz. This is why you should all have a post-it note. Hopefully you all have your own pen. There are going to be three questions. And what I want you to do is two things. I'm going to ask you three questions. There will be multiple guess questions. I want you to write down two things. I want you to write down what you think the answer to the question is and how confident you are in your answer to that question. And if you really don't know the answer and you're just guessing of any one of the options I've given you, I want you to give your certainty in answering the question as 5. If you are convinced that you know definitely without a shadow of a doubt that you know the answer to this question, your answer is correct, I want you to give it a 10. And you can use any of the numbers between 1 and 10, between 5 and 10 to express somewhere in the middle. I think I know the answer, but I'm not dead sure. So I'm going to run through the quiz once, and then I'm going to get you to ask you to do something different. This is why it's important that you write down your answers. I should say, I was originally going to use a different question set. I took them to the pub. There was more debate about the questions than there was about anything else, so I changed them. So, question number one. Car number plates in the UK used to have a single letter before three numbers. The letter indicated the year the car was registered. What year was the M prefix? So you've got four options: August 94 to July 95, August 95 to July 96, January 95 to December 95, or January 94 to December 94. Everyone got an answer? What period was Lee Kuan Yew Prime Minister of Singapore?
Everyone
got an answer? What is the longest two-digit A road in the UK?
Hilton Air Road.
quite an excellent question.
Not a freeway. Next one down.
Yeah, okay. a major artery. So you've got the A46, the A30, the A9, or the A38. Everyone got an answer? And everyone got assigned certainties in relation to each of their answers. Great. I now want you to partner with somebody who's near with you, near to you. It could be a group of three, it could be a pair. I don't mind. I want you to discuss your answers and come up with your collective answer, keeping your own answers. Do not discard your individual answer.
I don't know what.
5 all the way down.
Okay, have you all got collective answers? And collective probabilities?
Is this the only A load I've heard about?
You all done?
No, we're not done.
Yes, I've got some nods.
Charlie.
All right, now you need to do some marking, and I'm afraid this involves a little bit of maths.
Sort of problems.
So the answers. The answer to question one was A, so that was August 1994 to July 1995. The answer to question two was B, 1959 to 1990, that was Lee Kuan Yew. And the answer to question three was D, it's 292 miles, the A46 from, the A38 from Cornwall to Nottingham. Happy camping. Why on earth have I got you to do this? I also want you to score your individual and your collective probabilities. So if you got the right answer, but you only thought you were guessing and you only gave it an expectation of certainty of 5, you get 0. However, if you got the answer right and you said, no, I'm dead certain, you give yourself 25 points. The next slide is going to show you your penalties. So I'd like you to do your scores for your individual and your group. You all marked penalties for getting it wrong. So if you got the wrong answer but you had no confidence that you were certain at all, you got 0. If you were super confident that you were definitely right about the answer but you were wrong, you get -75.
I assume this is not a Squid Game scenario.
I think there should be, though.
So, did anyone come out with a negative number overall for their scoring? That's quite a lot. Did anyone come out with a better score as an individual than in a team? Interesting. Did anyone get the maximum negative amount? One. Which was -225. So one of the things that I quite like about doing this is quite often in a game you'll be playing in mixed teams, and from Tess's presentation the dynamics of the team play an important role, but a part of that dynamic from what I was looking at is how well do you understand what are the limits of your knowledge and how well do you express it. Did you in your team become massively more confident because you thought they know what they're talking about, or I know what I'm talking about? And how well did you express that to your team players in coming up with your collective decision? Did you make it worse in terms of your overall score, or did you make it better? Similarly, when you're reviewing a game, when you're doing the analysis of a game, how well are you expressing and how confidently are you expressing the uncertainty that has come out of your game? How, in the term of David Spiegelhalter, how honest are you in expressing your uncertainty? If you really didn't find something, or you really aren't certain that what you found is actually a useful finding, how honest and accurate are you at expressing that? One of the things in the book that starts off this discussion within the chapter is a story about, I think it was Iraq, that president got a piece of advice that we're relatively confident that this will happen. And it introduced a new wave of, in order to say that you're confident that something could happen, you need to be more than a certain level of confidence in that coming about. But if you're not very good at identifying how confident you are, or you're overconfident in not expressing your uncertainty, then it's useless. I could say, well, I'm 70% confident that this is going to be the outcome, but if you know me as an individual, I hopelessly underestimate my uncertainty, then me saying that actually invalidates some of my analysis and my results. Similarly, if I am the quiet person in the group who says, I think this is going to happen, and I'm right, but nobody else is convinced by me, then the group uncertainty is not going to reflect something that is at its core and central. So I would like to think this complements some of the things that Tess said around group dynamics, that it isn't just about gender, because I could have divided you up into different gendered groups to do this. It's also about different abilities, different personalities, different ways of communicating that fall into place within this. I think that also begins to question, sometimes there is wisdom in crowds, sometimes there is definitely not. How do I know when I'm analysing my game whether I should have trusted the wisdom of the crowd or not? How do I understand what information I'm getting from the players that I've put in the room, from the analysts who are doing the run through of the data? How am I going to be confident that what they're telling me is actually useful? So like I say, I started all of this and have basically taken a lot of stuff from David Spiegelhalter's book and a couple of videos on YouTube of him doing various presentations. It isn't heavy maths, I would tell you that. But when I started to look at this, I also thought, well, somebody else has talked about uncertainty in games, right? At some point they've talked about uncertainty in games. Mark Jones in 2017 wrote a paper on communicating uncertainty, and he's also done a piece for, I think it's the Georgetown Wargaming Society. And he's come up with a different way of expressing these uncertainties. So express the outcome that you could expect quantitatively and qualitatively, describe the range of possible outcomes, and assess the frequency of potential outcomes, which maybe comes back to some of the lessons from Tess's presentation about, if your players are exploring a greater range of outcomes, then you've potentially got more of an expression of the bounds of your uncertainty in a game, and it maybe gives you more confidence in the outcome. So I think that then has some spillovers into the analysis of games and whether you're looking for a facsimile of events, the relationship to reality, the impact of diversity, the impact on verification and validation, the data, whether you need players to be immersed and what that immersion actually is doing. If that is heightening their inability to express their uncertainty, it's probably not the best, but it might be. Because you might say, well, actually, in reality, all of the decision makers are useless at expressing their uncertainty as well. And so doing that in a game is exactly what I want. I think it also spills into analysis and research design. So I think I'm 10 seconds under.